Welcome to Buzz in the Tower, a podcast dedicated to the movies of the 1980s and the 1990s. I'm Mo Shapiro, and joining me once a week for in perpetuity for the rest of my life, my co-host, Max Sanders.
You say that like with such negativity.
No, it's something I'm really looking forward to.
Shatner.
And
Captain's Log.
Welcome to the show.
Meowdy.
A shout out to our incredible sponsors. 80stees.com. I'm wearing my Empire Strikes Back t-shirt. Max is wearing a kitten with a hat on it.
It says Meowdy. Howdy.
Not from 80stees.com.
I get comments on the shirt all the time.
I'm sure you do, Max. I'm sure you do. Today we're going to talk about...
Did your mom let you out of the house again? I'm like, I'm
at least
lost.
It's not as wrinkled as normal, I suppose. Today we're going to talk about Joe...
I put this in the dryer.
You're doing great. Today we're going to talk about Joe versus the Volcano.
Is it wrinkled?
Can I get a mother effing sentence out?
You insult me and then just move on?
Would you like me to pepper you instead?
Well, just acknowledge that the shirt is...
my dad joke? Salt, pepper?
Yeah, but acknowledge that the shirt is...
Max, you look great. Okay. And I mean this, like, I'm meaning to tell you that I'm so proud of you. You have life in total control. You seem to be doing really well.
Yeah.
I'm excited for your future.
I don't need movies like Joe versus the Volcano to bring me up.
We'll talk about that in a moment. Today's episode is brought to you by the letter D for damn it. Follow us on any social media platform. You can find our handle at Buzz in the Tower. Also, buzzinthetower.com is our website. Patreon.com/buzzinthetower. I leave, so these episodes are a little bit out of order, so I don't know when people are going to be listening to this one, but I leave tomorrow for Hawaii.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doubling up on some episodes.
You gonna get that pasty white tan?
I do need some tan.
You do?
It's rough.
Do you ever get tan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not like tan, but not like this is like...
I have nice olive skin.
Well, you're tattooed everywhere. We don't know what color your skin is.
Yeah, my face is normal.
I don't look at your face. It's really hard for me to make eye contact with you, actually. In addition to everything I just said, don't forget, subscribe, leave a review, 5 stars on any podcast player that you're comfortable using. Could be Spotify, could be Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're on it.
A tin can and a string.
That's not at all what you should listen to.
Did you try that as a kid?
No.
It never worked.
I just... I need to find a new co-host. And youtube.com/@buzzinthetower. That's our YouTube channel. Check it out. That's where you can see Max's t-shirt. And you can see my eyes roll when he talks to me. In fact,
you can hear it, though.
I know.
Ooh.
That's a little...
You wake up on the wrong side of...
No. You brought this out of me. I was in a great mood until I saw your goddamn face. All right. Anyways, welcome to the show today on Buzz in the Tower. Because, listen, let me tell you why I'm mad. I'm already mad at you. I have not been mad at you on a show in a long time, by the way. Someone just the other day pointed out how ever since we went to video, I've been much nicer to you.
Well, you can't hit me senseless.
No, nope, you know what it is?
The Ray Rice effect.
The old studio, we didn't look at each other.
Yeah.
Like, we looked straight ahead. And now that I have to look at you, I have to admit, this is like nature at its best. Like, this is, have you ever seen the National Geographic when they talk about how puppies and kittens and baby animals have this like look to their eyes and it protects them from being attacked by other animals because the other animals feel so bad for them because they're so weak and you know, whatever the hell you are.
I know where you're going.
Looking at you right now, it's like really hard for me to lay into you because I realize that you're just not built for it.
I have nice eyes.
You have Betty Davis or
Pete Davis and
eyes. Pete Davis and eyes.
Yeah.
Betty Davis eyes.
Why do you keep saying Betty Davis?
Because the song is, she's got Betty Davis eyes.
Oh, yeah. I forget that every time.
Every time.
Yeah. All right, Joe versus the Volcano.
I'm so upset that you don't like this movie. Like, I
respect it.
No. You do this with the Goonies.
No. So, I was going to bring this up. You have this weird, not weird, maybe it's more human than me kind of thing. In movies, I want depravity, weirdness, kind of like my most inner gross, strange thoughts. You like inspiration, Disneyfied. You're like, it's like a Disney adult thing where it's like you want this kind of crescendo of joy and all that kind of stuff.
Let me ask you serious. I mean, I'm being very serious. We don't do serious very often on the show.
Okay.
So bear with me. It's going to feel uncomfortable.
You're going to sweat a little bit.
I already know the answer to this, but I'm going to try to find a way to ask it the right way. Do you
like movies about gargoyles?
No,
I do.
Have you ever been to a Turkish prison? A
couple times.
Do you genuinely and sincerely think about meaning? Like what meaning of life is? And I'm not just talking about like heaven and hell. I mean like genuinely in the moment meaning. Like, do you wake up and say, you know, what is kind of the summation of my life? Or are you, and I'm not being critical of this, or are you a... Like, your focus is on the daily gratification of your needs. Today I am hungry, I eat. Today I'm thirsty, I drink. Today I have to go potty, I go potty.
Yeah.
Are you really in that place? Or, I mean, we joke about it, but I mean, what do you always say? You're the puddle that's a mile long, an inch.
Yeah. Mile wide, inch deep.
Yeah. Like, genuinely.
That's what makes me the most happy when I think about meaning.
So do you avoid, I think we're getting somewhere. Yeah. I think we're making some headway. Do you avoid thinking about meaning because the thoughts become too overwhelming and they scare you and you don't like to go to the dark place?
Well, no, there's no answer in the end. So I know,
but that's the contemplation. The journey is what is the
exciting
part.
So the rumigating is what you like?
I'm not recommending that you give yourself panic attacks worrying about what's going to happen when you die.
Yeah.
What I am saying, though, is don't you ever, you know, like,
I don't want to look at the moon and be like,
you
so
have,
big.
You have, did your sister already have the second baby?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have
Benny.
Two, yeah. You have two beautiful nephews.
Yeah.
Okay. When you see them, doesn't something evoke in you emotionally that, like, gets you outside of your immediate gratification place? You think about, like, life, and you think about imprinting, and you think about legacy.
No, I think about how much joy they're having in the moment. Like, I saw my older
you're
nephew.
You're jealous. You're like, I want a diaper
bad. My older nephew took Taekwondo for the first time, and he's learning how to sit, and he's doing the karate chop.
Yeah.
I was like, he's having the best time. Like, he has that little boy energy where, like, he can't even contain himself. But I'm more happy of his joy in the moment.
Yeah. So there's three movies that exist in this weird... I probably am not intelligent enough to articulate this, but I'm going to do my best. There's three movies that sit in this weird place where it's not like... So like Schindler's List is a movie that is like not just historical, but it's teaching a lesson and it's jarring and it's gut-wrenching. I'm not talking about those kind of movies.
Yeah.
There are three light, fluffy movies that are so powerful and mean so much to me because they make you think about really big things without coming across as judgmental, without coming across as like, this is the deep moment. And it's like, it's soft serve ice cream, right?
Yeah.
That you can
cheese around the pill.
LA Story, Groundhog's Day, Joe versus the Volcano.
What's LA Story?
It is, I assumed you'd never seen it.
Yeah.
I ask that you see it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Steve Martin.
Oh, all right.
And It is in the same vein as Joe versus the Volcano. Joe Banks, played by Tom Hanks, which isn't all that creative with the Hanks and the Banks and the Hawaii.
Well, they named Joe Banks
because of the Captain Cook's accountant or whatever.
You read the same three facts about this movie that I
have. I have way more than three facts, by the way, but that's fine. You piece of crap. If you poop on this movie, I'm going to break your nose.
Okay.
It means a lot to me. I won't really break your nose. Just kidding.
It only takes 10 pounds of pressure to break a nose.
Yeah, well, it only takes 10 fingers of fury.
Those are five.
Yeah. 10 fingers.
When's the last time you hit somebody?
I actually have a story regarding that I'll share with you in a minute. Joe Banks, played by Tom Hanks, is dying, apparently.
Brain cloud.
This is good news since his life was not much worth living anyways. On the upside, a strange millionaire, played by Lloyd Bridges, offers Joe a way to die with meaning and dignity by hurling himself into a volcano with plenty of spending cash and an ensemble of luggage. Joe embarks on an absurd journey to his demise, guided by two very desperate sisters and trying to puzzle out the meaning of existence.
Yeah. So I will give this movie credit too. The first 15 minutes, that picture of what office life is like.
I was going to say, like, if anything, how can you not just appreciate that this is the reason that you're a bartender?
So it's so, it's almost a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been as uncomfortable. Maybe that's why I don't like this movie.
Yeah.
The first 15 minutes is... it's hell on earth, like in the little ways, like the fluorescent lights. The boss is like, I know he can get the job, but can he do the job?
And he's like reversing. But I said he could do the job, but can he get the job?
The coffee with the weird creamer, isn't that? I mean, actually, I'll give it all the credit in the world for that. That unease in the beginning, his shoe falling, the company song and all that.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's like they never bring up that this is not reality. There's like bits and pieces of actual, like, where you can relate to this, and then it's fantasy. So maybe that meshing makes me feel uncomfortable.
I think the reason you don't like this movie is because you are completely unable to understand it. Like, you have never, not that I ever had a job that bad, but, I mean, I've been in corporate America for 20-some years.
It freaks me out.
Okay, so I gave you these three movies, right? So let me talk about the other two before I go to Joe
versus
the Volcano.
Yeah.
Well, LA Story I won't talk about because you've never seen it, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's cartoonish.
Yeah.
I mean, the Joe versus the Volcano, there's this like whimsical like fiction that exists, but it doesn't come across as a caricature. It's not over the top.
No, it's half and half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It very easy. And to me, that's Groundhog's Day.
I love Groundhog's Day, though.
So Groundhog's Day is another example of a movie that it's like, it's silly, it's funny, it's goofy, but woven into that are some massive, massive lessons about life and value and relationships. It's a love story weaved in between the Odyssey. Like, it's a journey. It's it's growth. That, to me, that's why these three movies sit in this very weird pocket of films that I love. Joe versus the Volcano, to me, is a blueprint to how you should live your life. So maybe I should get out of the deep part and just go to this. Like, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks have incredible chemistry with each other. This is their first time together.
Yeah.
The film itself is almost a, like, I use the term blueprint, right, on how to live your life. Joe Banks, his job prior to going into corporate America was a firefighter, which I didn't even remember until I rewatched it. I've watched this maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, but it didn't click with me. I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny.
Have you ever gotten back into the building when they were like, don't go in there?
No. Well, luckily, I've not had to deal with a situation that rough.
Because the two kids and then the one afterwards, that story got to me.
Yeah. The weirdest things get to you. Yeah.
Saving children?
No, but you'll sometimes watch a movie and you'll cry. Like, it'll be Bloodsport. You won't cry during fried green tomatoes.
Oh,
Terms of Endearment.
Con Air.
How do I live?
Yeah,
that
you said you teared up too.
I know, but I also teared up in Terms of Endearment. It's cancer, whatever. It's not
when
a
it gets
deal.
Too close to home. I have like a reactionary thing.
Do you know what's really funny too is that John Shanley, who directed and
I
wrote
thought you're
this.
Like Jet Li.
No, he directed and wrote this. You know, he wrote Moonstruck.
Yeah, I know.
And you love Moonstruck.
I do. And I also really love Doubt. Yeah. Have you seen that?
I've not.
Okay, it's incredible.
No.
But yeah, I don't know why. I think when you try to be genuine and honest, there's an actual message for the movie, you can be made fun of. It's like, you know how Deadpool's like a smirking, like, hey, they were actually, well, I touched my microphone.
You're good. Breaking that fourth wall. You're good.
There's this like joking, like, hey, we're in on the joke with you. When you try to be genuine and try to be like, the new Dune movies are very like, hey, this is a really serious movie. We're taking it very seriously, but you can make fun of it.
Yeah.
If you don't get it right away, you can make fun of it instantly, kind of thing.
You see what I'm saying? I do. Yeah. So in Joe versus the Volcano, you have this story about, I mean, his name, Average Joe.
Yeah.
Right? Not from Dodgeball. But Joe is.
Drink my own urine.
Well, so Joe is everyman, right? Yeah. So he gets up, he goes to work. He's sick all the time. And
great job, too. He's the advertising director for a medical supply company.
Yeah. And they do everything from like prosthetic testicles to like petroleum.
KY jelly. Yeah.
Not KY, petroleum.
Same feet.
It's not the same at all.
Okay.
One is has a specific use, but we'll let you just.
What's continue. The petroleum for?
For a million different things, not for
toast?
KY. Yes, that's right. Jelly. Delicious
jelly. I have a PB and petroleum sandwich.
Jesus Christ, Max. His story is so relatable, right? Mm. He's just someone who is like a zombie walking through life. And his doctor, Unsolved Mysteries, tells him, you've got a brain cloud.
Yeah.
He instantaneously pivots in his life, and that pivot, right, of wow, like, I'm dying. So like I could have read straight from all these reviews. I wanted to kind of make it my own words, and I'm just tripping all over them.
Roger Ebert loved this movie, right?
I know. Yeah.
3.5 stars, right?
3.5 stars. Yeah. But what he loved about it, I mean, I think he actually made reference to LA Story. Did I see him say LA Story? Whatever. You're throwing me all off.
Sorry.
I'm all emotional. It's okay. The bottom line is that Joe's journey from realizing he's dying to reliving his life, the delicate nature of time and existence, and that we only have kind of one crack at this thing. I love stories like that. Like, to me, that's what like Groundhog's Day was about, right? Like, he had this opportunity to become a god, and eventually he realized that even though he could live the same day over and over and over again, all he really wanted was a connection, to be in love, right?
Yeah.
Because at root, this is a love story too, with him and. There's Dee Dee, Angelica, and Patricia.
Is it Patricia?
Okay, yeah. Meg Ryan plays those three. But, remember on last episode, I told you she plays three characters.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but the first one is secretary. Technically not their sister. Right. Yeah, it's secretary. It looks like you had something to say. Say it.
No, Meg Ryan in this movie. Meow.
Sega. Saturn. All right, let's get into facts, Max.
Okay.
The idea from Joe versus the Volcano was inspired by the old belief that volcanoes were portals to the afterlife.
Really?
You should try jumping in one to test that theory.
He's so mad.
I know. I hate you so much.
I'm allowed to not like a movie.
So not only did Meg Ryan play those three characters, but she's also the voice of the flight attendant when they welcome the flight to Los Angeles.
That's cool.
I thought it was, I guess they're on a shoestring budget to make her do all that work. It sounds terrible to me, but there's this film has a lot of, and maybe I like this too, like Easter eggs, foreshadowing. There's a whole bunch of stuff, right? So one is the lamp. Which, shame on me when we did the 90s collectors. I should have done the lamp.
Yeah.
The lamp is really cool.
The orange soda is pretty fun. Jump soda.
I know, but I should have done the lamp. So the lamp that he brings into the office because he can't stand those fluorescent lights, it actually, on the lamp, if you look, has a yacht, a volcano, and a large full moon. So it predicts the things that are about to happen to him.
So Shantley, who directed this, is a big play guy.
Yeah.
Like, Doubt was his big thing. Broadway. This feels very play-like. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has the three books where it's the Odyssey, Romeo and Juliet, and Robinson Crusoe.
So you're referring, because you didn't explain, but you're referring to when
Joe leaves
and he shows that he has the three books that he's like packing before he leaves.
Yeah, and that's basically what his story is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another, so there's tons of, like, you know, I love a good personalized license plate. When Joe and Angelica are overlooking Los Angeles in the convertible, her license plate on the back says bad girl.
Yeah.
But the next morning, it on the front plate says good girl.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm a rich girl.
By the way, I love when they're going through LA. He goes, it looks all fake. I like it.
Yeah.
Have you ever driven down the Pacific Beach Coast?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've done the one. I actually did the one all the way up to San Francisco. I think it was like eight and a half hours. A beautiful drive.
Why'd you do that?
When I was working out there 100 years ago. Did it.
Okay.
I had to drive from LA to San Francisco, so I did decide to do the scenic route.
Nice.
Very nice. Very nice. The mask that's worn by the Wapani, who is representing like the evil spirit in the movie, is the, if you watch at the beginning of the movie when they're walking into the front of the building, it represents that mask. It's the same look, the same mask.
Oh, the factory is?
Yeah, the factory is the evil mask.
Oh, that's cool.
There's lots of references to like soul. Right. So like this idea that you lose your soul, or this idea that your soul is taken from you. So
isn't like soul sucking something like a quote from Meg Ryan at some point?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the first time that you see it, I wrote them all down. But the first time you see it is when he's walking into the office and the sole of his shoe gets stuck.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I almost lost the sole of my shoe. But let me find the examples. So you've got 16 tons. The song that's played, the one that you were mentioning, 16. Yeah. So I sold my soul to the company store.
Oh, yeah.
So that's your first soul reference. Joe responds to Dee Dee's question in the factory while inspecting the damage of his shoe, that he almost lost the soul of his shoe, which I mentioned. Patricia's reference to being soul sick.
Okay.
Yacht,
yeah.
When she's like, yeah, you're soul sick.
I heard that before.
Lots of lines. The Wapani Toby Chief, when he was saying, like, you know,
the little doll, right?
Yeah, like, don't lose your soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the soul gets mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
If you had a soul, you'd probably like this movie.
Yeah.
I think it would help.
I don't know. I like the now.
God.
Well, I mean, like, thinking about legacy and like your place in the world and like what's it gonna mean after I die, like, isn't that just kind of hubris and like kind of, it's thinking about things that might happen and all that kind of stuff?
I don't want to do this podcast with you anymore.
What?
Go home.
We just have different beliefs.
I don't believe in your beliefs.
I'm a Buddhist.
The possible tattoo alert that I would consider getting this tattoo.
What?
Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but there is
the fake testicles?
No. That way more your style than my style. So the symbolism of the bolt of lightning is seen throughout the entire movie. And when I was researching for Joe versus the Volcano, I didn't even know half of the references, but I went back and looked. It's actually kind of cool. So when you start the movie, they're walking into the actual office, and they have that crooked path they're taking. That design of the crooked path is the bolt of lightning.
Oh, that's neat.
You then see that as the logo for the American Panascope logo. Mm. So you see it a couple places, but when the doors open at the beginning, you very clearly see the bolt of lightning. When Lloyd Bridges goes to Joe's apartment,
and he starts breaking stuff,
the plaster crack on the wall is that bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
When the yacht is struck by lightning, there's a moment where the lightning like is very clearly sitting kind of still. It's that logo. And then at the end, when the Wapanis are walking up the volcano, they all have torches and it's lit up like the bolt of lightning.
That's wild.
So that's something that you should know.
I felt kind
of sad. You know.
I felt sad that the
All the Wapanis died.
Yeah, like that the actual volcano thing was true.
Do you know who one of the Wapanis was other than Abe Vigoda?
I
Nathan Lane.
Yeah. I was like, this guy is very festive. I'm feeling Birdcage.
Yeah, like, I was like, Birdcage.
Is this Nathan Lane?
It is Nathan Lane.
Well, it makes sense because their tribe is part Jewish. Yeah. Remember? Because so do you know they're singing the Hava Nagila with different voices and all? Yeah. And that Abe Vigoda is like their main guy.
It's really funny. He's great. He's fantastic. Yeah. There's not a lot of characters in this movie.
No, there's not.
We'll get to the characters in a minute, but there's just enough that it's kind of like fun, you know? Like, I don't know. They do a nice job on
that. Well, like when he does his like Pretty Woman shopping day and all with the driver, that's a lot of fun. So that's probably the most fun I have in the movie.
I think good movies like this, like that are like The Odyssey, The Journey, whatever. Yep. Every journey needs a Sherpa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the Christy Swanson movie.
Yeah.
Donald Sutherland is her like Sherpa.
Donald Sutherland's in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
He's the best. By the way, speaking of Donald Sutherland, do you know what movie we have not done yet? We got to go. Our next couple movies got to do some 80s. We're getting a little
Backdraft.
No, Backdraft is 90s, but that's what we need to do.
Yeah,
Donald Sutherland in Backdraft is amazing.
So, my fire like bomb movies, Blown Away is more of my favorite.
I don't know. I love
Backdraft. You haven't seen Blown Away, have you?
No, I don't have to. I need to.
It's Tommy Lee Jones as an Irish bomb maker. Bridges.
Nope.
Forrest Whitaker.
Nope.
Please watch it. I'll watch that if you watch that.
You're watching L.A. Story. You haven't seen Backdraft yet?
No, I've seen Backdraft.
Oh, yeah. You need to watch L.A. Story.
We talk about the fire.
That's what I thought.
Did you burn the fire? He's like,
not fair. That's not fair. Oh, that's good.
Donald Sutherland seems like he has a good life.
So every time that Joe makes a life change, he throws away a hat. If you watch the movie, so when he quits his job, he threw his hat in the garbage. When he gets on the boat, he throws the hat off to the side. When he rescues Patricia, he's got that rain slicker hat that he throws as well. The version of Blue Moon that's playing in Joe's New York City hotel room that night is the exact same version that's playing on the tape recorder when the batteries die in Apollo 13. Also, Tom Hanks movie.
Do you think he did that on purpose?
I don't know.
Apollo 13?
I feel like all the time in like movies, they have these little tips of their own hat. No pun intended from the hat comment, but the tips of all these hat to their previous work. So it wouldn't entirely surprise me.
So like Deadpool reading the John Candy book from Planes, Trains kind of thing?
Yeah, that was for sure on purpose.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I thought Ryan Reynolds was either producing or had something to do with a biopic on John Candy. I thought I'd heard that for a while.
Yeah, there is something
going on. There is something going on. Okay.
Yeah, I heard out the other day, Risky Business inspired John Hughes and Ferris Bueller because, like, stealing your dad's car.
No kidding.
In Illinois kind of thing.
That's wild. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
So Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, as we mentioned, would go on to star in three movies together, Sleepless in Seattle in 93, You've Got Mail in 98, and Ithaca in 2015.
What's your favorite of the combos? This?
I have only seen one of the three.
Sleepless?
Yep.
Yeah, Sleepless is the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to love a little romance.
Meg Ryan was the romantic comedy queen.
What's your favorite Meg Ryan movie?
So I like her character the best in Top Gun because she's just like... She's just fun and lovable.
Come here, Goose. Yeah.
Kiss me or lose me forever. Or take me to bed or lose me.
Yeah. You shake my nerves and you killed my husband. A buddy of mine at the fire station, him and his wife just had their baby, and they named the baby Maverick.
Oh, that's cool.
We have to get him a little baby Buzz in the Tower shirt.
Yeah. His actual name's Maverick?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Maverick Daniel Krajewski.
That's pretty cool.
Wait, what was Iceman's name in Top Gun?
Tom Kasinic or something like that.
Kazansky,
yeah.
I just realized his last name's Krajewski, which is like really close to Kazansky.
Yeah, you should do that. The most charming she is when Harry met Sally.
Yeah.
Because she's obtainable and they're neurotic and like they're circling each other for 10 years. I mean,
these are all the wrong answers. There's only one answer.
What's the right answer?
Come on, Interspace.
In the cut?
Interspace. Oh. She's the best in Interspace. God, I love that movie.
She's like the third lead and not as...
Who cares?
Armed and Dangerous is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's... See? How could you say When Harry Met Sally?
You know she has size 11 feet?
No.
Yeah. She's 5'8", too, which I thought was crazy.
For
I think
Hollywood, that's very... Nobody in Hollywood's tall.
That's what I thought. Like, and she seems very petite. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you know what movie's underrated with her? French Kiss. Her and Kevin Kline.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, it's really good. Yeah.
That you like that movie, but you don't like Joe versus the Volcano. It's unbelievable to me. So
I give it credit. I'm saying it's well done and it's like masterful. It's just not what I relate to.
So I'm going to give you Roger Ebert. I really loved in his review. I very rarely quote Ebert because he hates all the movies that you and I love. But this was his opening quote regarding Joe versus the Volcano.
Yep.
Gradually during the opening scenes of Joe versus the Volcano, my heart began to quicken until finally I realized a wondrous thing. I had not seen this movie before. Most movies I've seen before, most movies you have seen before, most movies are constructed out of bits and pieces of other movies, like little engines built from the cinematic erector sets, but not Joe versus the Volcano. It is not an entirely successful movie, but it is new and fresh and not shy of taking chances. And the dialogue in it is actually worth listening to because it's written with wit and romance.
Yeah, that's a good summation.
I thought so too.
I'm not saying it's not well done or it's not like...
Screw you, Max.
It's like when you go see, like, when I saw Rent when I was like 12 years old, I was like, I don't know.
Don't compare this to Rent, for God's sake.
Rent's great.
So...
I mean, now I realize.
The writer, also who directed it, John Patrick Shanley, he has a trademark line that he used also in Moonstruck. Do you know what that line is?
Snap out of it?
No. Did you remember seeing that in Joe versus the Volcano? In the telling one lover telling another lover not to leave them in the stinking earth without them.
Oh, that's nice.
That's his little trademark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Precious. Like Julia Roberts auditioned for the female lead in this.
She would have been good.
She would have been really good.
Yeah.
She might have been better.
You think?
Give me a movie where you don't think that Julia Roberts could have done better than Meg Ryan. I think Harry Met Sally, Julia Roberts would have been better.
No, she's too stunning.
No.
You have to have the neuroticism of like, Julia Roberts takes what she wants. She's like the T-Rex of hotness.
Julia Roberts takes what she wants. Your takes on things are incredible sometimes.
So do you know there was a different ending to this movie?
No. Are you kidding?
No.
No, I didn't find that. What is
it? So the movie was reshot to change the ending, which was unpopular with test audiences.
Yeah.
This is crazy. In the original ending, after Joe and Patricia are expelled by the volcano, they are rescued by Tweedledum, the sister of the yacht that was sunk.
That's right, the other boat. Yeah.
On board are the rescued crew of the D, as well as the Granamore and Dr. Ellison, who turned out to be Doc Granamore's tax accountant, his hatchet man.
Yeah.
And basically, they pull a gun on him, and Tom Hanks pulls the gun back. He puts Granamore and her father on a dinghy, and they say, like, oh, I was too greedy. Like, this is fine. You're going to leave us on a dinghy. And then they leave, and then they see the tribe floating away on the...
suitcases?
Yeah. And that's the end.
How could the whole tribe fit on those four suitcases?
I mean, they put a lot of people on there. I don't know. I'm telling you this.
I believe you. I had never heard that before. So there you go. You have it, Max.
Bad at telling stories.
You're the best storyteller I know.
I'm really bad.
I know.
Yeah.
What do you do good?
Like little piecemeal comments.
I make fake guns with my hands. I'm the best in the West.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Hey, you need 3-and-D guys, or you need like a punt return specialist and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, for sure, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Carol Kane, who didn't want to get credit in this movie, so she had an anonymous name, Lisa LeBlanc, but she was the hairdresser.
No way.
Yeah.
I thought I recognized her.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And then what is her name? When they're on the boat, there's that woman who is like
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
about. But she's in a bunch of stuff, and she's super weird.
She's not in a bunch of stuff. She's in one thing.
What is the one thing I'm thinking of where she's, like, super crazy
Her name
weird?
In this is Dagmar.
Yeah.
And she's the boat helper. It's Amanda Plummer. She's Honey Bunny in Pulp Fiction.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do I know her?
I gotta pee. Yeah.
Don't worry, Honey Bunny.
You're doing great.
Chill out and sit down.
I love you so much.
Oh, man. That's totally what she was in. Good call. God.
Yeah.
I was looking at her, I'm like, she's very
upsetting to look at.
She's got a weird look.
Yeah, well,
she's different.
Yeah, she looks constipated.
Yeah, well, that's sure. Why not?
Well, she's like all like
Max. Any other facts about Joe versus the Volcano? We're ready to go to that character.
There's like this whole duck theme. So the handle of Mr. Granamore's cane is a duck head.
Yeah.
And the doctor's a quack.
Yeah.
And also, I after I saw the movie, I was like, oh yeah, there's a duck on his trunks. Be right before he's about to go into the volcano, and he looks at it kind of like introspectively.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know why there's a duck theme? Did you get that second half of it, or are you just going to leave the story?
Oh, yeah. The French word for duck is canard, which in English also means ruse or hoax.
Thank you. I'm like, I know the whole fact, and you just are like, yeah, there's ducks. You're like, dun, 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 dun. Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. This is the most classic Max story ever. I knew the facts right when you started saying it, and you just dead stop halfway through there and don't explain what the duck even means.
Ducks are great.
Ducks are great. That's quacktastic.
Yeah.
Blathering, blatherstein.
You ever eaten duck? It's delicious.
No.
Really? You're not picking duck? No. Where they bring the duck to the table?
No. I know. Christmas story. I'm good. I'm good.
Why not? It's delicious.
Ducks are cute. Chickens aren't cute. I don't mind eating them.
Okay. What about veal?
I very rarely eat veal.
But you've eaten it.
I don't even remember the last time. Maybe when I didn't know what it
you're
was.
You're not denying you've eaten
it. I might have eaten it when I didn't know what it was.
You shove things in your mouth you don't know what they are?
Yeah. Often. This episode really got away from us.
This is our third one in like four
in
days.
Yeah, I know.
We're just sick of each other.
Well, plus apparently we're doing a movie you don't like because you're a POS.
I respect this movie.
Max, shut up.
Okay.
You don't respect anything. So you can't respect a movie if you don't respect yourself, and you don't respect yourself.
Zing.
Zowie.
All right, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. So born in California, he's half Portuguese and half English, which kind of... I realized watching this movie, he's got a very unique look. Who else looks like Tom Hanks besides Colin Hanks?
Paul Rudd.
You think so?
A little bit.
Paul Rudd's more handsome.
Yeah.
And more traditionally Jewish looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what Tom Hanks decade is your favorite?
Well, I mean, first, can I go with his history a little bit first?
I guess if you want to.
Yeah. Jeez. He had no acting experience when he went to college. He'd never acted before. He couldn't even get into his college play. He had to do like a community troupe theater thing, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's 90s Hanks. 90s Hanks is on, that's the best 10 year run anyone's ever had.
Yeah.
So it goes Joe versus the volcano, and then he goes,
I don't even want to know.
His three favorite bands are Elvis Presley, Patrick Rondat, and Alabama Thunder is the third name.
I'm not entirely sure that you have to bleep out the last part of that.
Okay.
But now I understand why you were giggling like a schoolgirl.
Okay, but his 90s, he's got this, Bonfire of the Vanities, A League of Their Own, Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, Toy Story, That Thing You Do, Saving Private Ryan, You've Got Mail, Toy Story 2, The Green Mile, and 2000 is Castaway. I mean, that's insane.
What's your two or three favorite Tom Hanks movies?
Oh, God.
So ironically, and I love his movies.
Yeah.
Not ironically, I guess. I still, for me, it's The Burbs, Big, and
Bachelor Party?
And Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, okay.
Bachelor Party's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
But it's not like, I wouldn't say it's my favorite Tom Hanks movie.
What about The Money Pit?
Yeah, fun to watch.
You love The Burbs.
I love The Burbs, and I love Big.
Yeah. So do you think 80s Hanks is better than 90s Hanks?
So that's my problem.
Yeah.
So, like, I would never argue with anyone that the 90s is better, purely from, like, a box office standard. You just listed, like, 10 bangers from the 90s. But for me, Joe versus the Volcano is the only reason. It's not a clear-cut answer, and that was 90.
90, it's, like, borderline. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Forrest Gump, no one else could – someone posed this the other day. If anyone else played Forrest Gump, it would be like a make fun of movie. You know what I mean?
They did it wasn't like a ranking, but they were going through all of the performances of actors portraying severe mental retardation or like mental health issues. This was on Two Bears, One Cave.
Yep.
And they were talking about Forrest Gump. Yeah. And they were talking about,
Sean Penn, I Am Sam?
And then there's some Rosie O'Donnell movie.
My God. Yeah. I know. I saw that clip.
Like Rosie
too.
On the Bus or something.
Yeah,
yeah dude. It's something else, but.
I am, what's it called? Ben Stiller, Simple Jack.
Oh, God. I can't even quote any of that movie. The movie's incredible. All right, continue with your Hanksology.
I mean, he's probably the most diverse comedy into serious guy of all time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he is.
But he falls off, which is strange. By 2002, Catch Me If You Can's done. He does.
It's really good.
Yeah. He does The Da Vinci Code, and then he just kind of does terrible movies for 20 years. Even the Elvis movie, which was a good movie.
Yeah.
He's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, how did he play this role?
Do you know what I'm really surprised that his son didn't have more? So, like, he had that television show, but then.
Fargo?
Not Fargo. Kind of like a Modern Family type show.
I didn't know that.
But more important than that, he was incredible on Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
He was really, really good.
In Orange County, I liked a lot.
With Jack Black. Yeah, I thought he was good in that. I'm surprised that he didn't have more of a career.
It's like Jack Quaid, Dennis Quaid's son, who's in The Boys.
Quaid.
Yeah, that's Quado.
Start the reactor.
It's like you're seeing your most favorite of celebrities, but you're not actually seeing them. You know what I mean? Like through their son's eyes. But I mean, Splash is incredible. Saving Private Ryan.
Splash! Jesus, I forgot about Splash.
Saving Private Ryan is probably the best.
Is the reason that we love Splash more about John Candy and less about Tom Hanks?
No, because Tom Hanks falling in love.
He's great. Yeah. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
But like, to me, John Candy makes the movie.
Yeah. I mean, like the racquetball scene. My heart's beating like a rabbit.
Him and the Levy.
Yeah,
Eugene Levy are incredible.
Yeah.
And Daryl Hannah's whatever. And like, it's
she's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but like, it's not like a.
No.
You know,
well, the Ron Howard-ness of it. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is really kind of always a fun movie. A League of Their Own, too.
Which, by the way, dude, I had no idea. This is my own stupidity. What's her face from Jurassic, the new Jurassic movies? The woman is Ron Howard's daughter.
No way.
Yeah. Dallas Bryce Howard
or whatever. God.
That's Ron Howard's daughter.
No way.
I'm so dumb for not picking that up because she's a redhead.
I didn't pick that up either.
I told DeBruce, and he's like, dude, no kidding. And
well, she's
like,
gorgeous and he's a goblin.
Yeah. Well, goblins marry gorgeous people.
I guess. Zing.
He just walked me right up to the net and put the stepladder and said, dunk on me.
Meg Ryan.
I'll save that for your wedding.
Yeah.
That's going to be in my speech. Goblins marry beautiful things.
Do you know Meg Ryan turned down Pretty Woman?
No way.
Yeah. And she also turned down Mia Wallace in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, wow. So I don't think she
that would be terrible.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, maybe. I mean, I just said her and Julia Roberts, I think, are more interchangeable than you want to give them credit for.
Oh, and you're going to love this. She was offered Clarice in Silence of the Lambs.
Mm.
She would have been terrible.
Yeah.
So her career fades, too.
Her career is wild. Well, so she's got Armed and Dangerous, Interspace.
Top Gun.
When Harry Met Sally. Yep. And then.
The Doors.
Yep, The Doors. Prelude to a Kiss was good.
Sleepless in Seattle.
She leaned heavy into.
Rom-coms.
Yeah,
IQ, which is one of my favorite underrated ones.
Oh, really?
You never seen it?
City of Angels.
Wait, have you seen IQ?
I've not seen IQ.
So it's about Albert Einstein's niece, who's Meg Ryan.
Oh, okay.
Falls in love with a mechanic, Tim Robbins.
Okay.
And she thinks he's below her intelligence-wise, but Einstein and his like group of friends are trying to get them together.
But this is, by the way, that I've never seen it. I know the movie, but that also has a feel to it, like a life lesson, Joe versus the Volcano movie.
Yeah, but it's not talking about life as a whole. It's talking about the moment.
Love.
Yeah.
Love.
Courage Under Fire, she rules.
Yeah.
And Anastasia, she was the voice.
Oh, all right.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah. That one's kind of like the forgotten Disney movie.
Yeah. Rasputin. She, I saw like a picture of her the other day. Like, she's almost unrecognizable.
Yeah. She did a nude scene in the cut.
Okay.
And people were not particularly happy.
Whatevs.
Yeah.
She's happy. I'm happy.
Is she happy? She doesn't seem very happy.
What is happiness, Max? Are you happy?
I'm pretty happy.
Are any of us happy? You are pretty happy.
Lloyd Bridges. He seems happy.
Can we just talk about him for a minute?
Tug Benson.
I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but...
when he's selling Joe on...
Hot Shots.
Yeah.
He's so good in Hot Shots.
But when he's selling Joe on, like, here's the credit cards. He's, like, breaking the walls in his house.
Do you have any whiskey? He's really good in this movie.
Yeah.
His career is fascinating because obviously he got to a point where it was like all these kind of goofy roles. Like, what was his last serious role?
I don't even know him as a serious actor. Do you?
He's had some roles that were serious.
Remember in Mafia? He's the Don. Yes. He's Vincenzo Cortino. and Seinfeld. Remember he's Mandelbaum?
Yep.
It's go time.
Lloyd Bridges. All right, Max. I mean, you want to go through the other character? I mean, it's like Abe Vigoda and
yes. Yeah, so, I mean, well, he was in The Godfather.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. And he's the grandpa in Look Who's Talking.
He is.
And he's Otis in Good Burger.
Yep.
My hip hurts. Have you seen the new Good Burger? I haven't seen it.
I've not.
Yeah.
Mr. Waturi is played by Dan Hedaya.
Yeah.
And his most important role ever, outside of Clueless, was, of course, in
Commando. Yeah. Who is he in Commando? What's the guy's name? Arias.
The people, they need a strong dictator.
But in Running Scared, he's Captain Logan, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Adam's
You love Running Scared.
Yeah.
That's like one of your favorite movies.
Well, it's the prelude to Lethal Weapon. Yeah.
The buddy cop movie.
And Billy Crystal, really, as a cop, is shockingly good. You don't like it.
You know what? I got a hot take. Not a huge Billy Crystal fan.
Oh.
outside of The Princess Bride, there's nothing that he's in that I'm like, oh, I'm so geeked to see that.
When Harry Met Sally?
I like it, don't love it.
Okay.
It's not a...
The introspective, nervous Woody Allen Jew in New York?
No, and I don't like any Woody Allen movies either, buddy.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Manhattan?
None of those movies resonate with me.
Hannah and Her Sisters?
When I say I don't like any Woody Allen movies, yeah, and then you proceed to name the Woody Allen movies, wouldn't it be implied that I am referring, in fact, to those movies?
Crimes and Misdemeanors?
Dune? Dune 2?
But Dan Hedaya, he's not Italian, actually. He's a Syrian Jew.
Yeah.
And he went to Tufts, my alma mater.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I transferred to Michigan.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Well aware.
Yeah. He was in The Usual Suspects, too.
Who was he in The Usual Suspects?
He was the unusual suspect.
Good one. Have you seen The Usual Suspects?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Are you kidding me? It's like one of the best plot twists of all time.
I can't wait until
the greatest
I can't
trick
wait
the
until
devil
I've made is convincing he didn't exist. I can't wait until I find out that you're Kaiser Soze.
Do you know what's funny? In that scene when they're in the lineup and they're all laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because Benicio del Toro farted.
Yeah.
And they're all just like,
pfft. I did know that. Well, why don't you save that for when we do our Usual Suspect episode?
Okay. Spoiler.
God, that'll be a long episode.
Can we do a 7 episode?
I want to do a 7 episode.
But... My nose.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I was going to go into the microphone and do the weird Trent Reznor, like, I want to bleed you like an animal.
Oh, Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trent Reznor is the lead singer.
I know, but yeah, most people would know them as Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, I know him as Trent Reznor and the Nails.
Yeah. I'm done with this episode. Are we done with this episode?
Marshall.
The
limo driver.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was great in this.
Ossie Davis. He's the mayor in Do the Right Thing.
Mayor?
Yeah.
Cody Wilson.
He's got some good advice, although it's got this weird, with the shopping and stuff, it's kind of like commercialism can make you happy a little bit, doesn't it?
I never got that feel.
I mean, he's having a good time for the first time.
I actually saw it more as...
He can finally do what he wants?
No, making a personal connection.
Yeah.
It was I actually felt, and like, as opposed to Pretty Woman, where it's all about her finally feeling glamorous.
Huge mistake.
In this, I felt like it was him making a friend.
Like buying the tuxedo for him and all that.
Yeah, just like that he had someone to like share a mutual experience with.
And I thought it was interesting too when he invited him to dinner and he's like, no, I got to go to my family. Sometimes, you know, you got to walk through a door alone. He's like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I thought it was a Sherpa.
When he buys the 4 trunks and the guy goes, may you live a thousand years. I was like, that's how customer service is.
This is how you want to shop.
Yeah.
You want to go into somewhere and be like, give me 2 of those. Give me 3 of those. Oh, a hat like that, you get a free bowl of soup. But it looks good on you.
The nudie plating pads and a couple of orange balls. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you bought golf clubs?
Yeah.
You use them like twice.
I sold them to a guy for half.
Money, for money?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you usually sell things for. So let me tell you about this duck. There's a duck, and he's
pan roasted. He's delicious. Mo never ate him.
The duck. I'll never forget the duck story.
Yeah.
So the most Mac story ever.
So let me ask you one thing. Ask
me 2 things.
There's this one moment in the movie. It's when
the moon.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
You love that.
I love it.
When he's like, "Dear God, whose name I do not know, thank you for my life. I forgot how big. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for my life.
I love it.
You love that."
I love it because Joe's a cynic.
Yeah.
And he is always finding what's wrong, why you can't. And it represents this kind of pivotal turn in his character where, Max, it's the most realistic thing in the world. You don't know what you have until you're put in a position where you think you're going to lose it.
Yep.
So, like, for him, the value of life, the magic of life, even when he gets on the boat with her and the stars are out there and he says, do you ever get used to this? Like, this is incredible. And she's like, no. You don't ever get, like, really used to it. But it's true. And I've been so fortunate when I was in college and I got to live in Australia for a year.
Yep.
By the way, it's been like 8 episodes since I brought up Australia. When we went to the Northern Territory, which is like Kakadu, and we went hiking, there are moments where I saw things like landscape that you just, it burnt, you know, a picture into my brain of things that were just incredible. And you see that kind of stuff and you're just like, wow, like life is pretty big.
Yeah. Well, do you think that you need to risk it all to feel alive kind of thing? Like, you know, like Joe has these death defying kind of things.
Yeah.
Do you feel like in your life you got to take that risk where things might not turn out okay?
I think the happiest and most successful people are the ones that can create a sense of urgency without the urgency actually staring them down the barrel.
Okay.
So
it's like, a tiger chasing you.
Some people have to have the actual tiger chasing them.
Yeah.
Some people just know that they have to create that sense of urgency.
No, there's like a philosophical theory like act like you're being put into a corner because that's the only time you act,
right?
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like in your case, you have created
room has no corners.
You have an oval office. You've created so much comfort for yourself that you just are like, I'm here.
Pillows.
Hello. Hello.
Hedonism bot from Futurama.
Amazing. It's amazing. All as a mechanism to protect yourself from unraveling from anxiety. Yeah. It's actually really amazing.
I would actually
argue that inside of your head is a scarier situation than Joe versus the volcano. Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny. Everyone always thinks people with really dangerous and sick tattoos are like the scary people.
Yeah.
I think the scariest people are the people with the friendly tattoos because they need to be reminded of the friendly.
Mm.
They can't deal with the anger stuff.
Mm.
Is that weird?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not weird. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Would you like to hear one of my poems? Long ago, the delicate tangles of his hair covered the emptiness of my hand.
Can I hear it again?
Long ago, the delicate tangles of his hair covered the emptiness of my hand.
I have no reaction to that. What did she say? Not reaction. I have no...
Yeah, no, she said I have no reaction.
Yeah. So when she gets awkward... Super awkward.
Yeah.
Max, I don't even know what to make of this episode.
Spotlight.
I'm glad we talked about it. Let's go to the Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight. Max, this week's Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight is Ryan Hughes, friend of the show, longtime listener.
Son of John Hughes.
He's not the son. So, wicked, wicked, we're son of John Hughes.
Yeah. He should tell people that.
No.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't. Most people would.
IMDb, I could probably look him up.
Yeah, you probably could.
He's just a cool dude.
He is. I know you guys message all the time.
We do.
Late night.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Burn some candles. Let's hear what Ryan had to say. I assume he's seen Joe versus the Volcano before.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure you didn't get someone who hates it like you did. All right. Let's see what Ryan had to say about this movie that I love and you hate.
Hey, Mo and Max. This is Ryan Hughes from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, Canada. Do not Google it. You're going to get a whole bunch of surprises. I want to thank you for letting me come back here and do another guest spotlight for you. We're talking about Joe versus the Volcano. What a weird, ridiculous, but original and refreshing movie. Coming out in 1990, when in the early 90s, we were getting a whole bunch of kind of films that were a little weird, like Nothing But Trouble or Death Becomes Her, Bonfire of the Vanities, those kind of films. But Joe versus the Volcano was a fresh take, almost... kind of an ode to the 1930s of storytelling with fantastic kind of images and colors. It's original and we can't hate on that. It's got two of the most likable lead actors of the 80s and 90s, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. My favorite part of the whole movie is when he leaves the Medical League building and he knows he's going to die. He's been told by the great Robert Stack, this is no unsolved mystery, you're going to die in 6 months. And he leaves, and there's this hopelessness, there's this isolation about him. He hugs that dog, he hugs the woman, but the colors of the wall and the pan out that show his car and the contrast, it's this little bit of hope that is instilled within Joe, and I love that scene in the movie because it kind of shows us and it foreshadows what's going to happen next, and there's a bunch of foreshadowing that first half of the movie, so... that would be my favorite part of the movie. I really appreciate you having me on and keep doing what you're doing. Love it. Thanks a lot, guys.
I could listen to a thick Canadian accent all day long.
He's like if John Candy and Macho Man Randy Savage had a baby.
There's nothing about him that's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, I kind of had a voice like this, like, oh, yeah, no, brother.
Doesn't sound like that at all.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
He had cool Transformers in the background.
So that was distracting. He has cool, there's a Kermit the Frog, Muppet Baby, there's all kinds of stuff.
Can we get some more memorabilia stuff in here?
Probably.
Yeah.
It'll get a little overwhelming though, and then you'll never clean anything. I will tell you that we didn't talk about this, but the favorite scene that he mentioned where he's walking out of the doctor's office.
Yeah.
So Steven Spielberg was the executive producer of this movie, and he is known for meddling in movies that he's not directing. And the one time he meddled and he sent the director back was that scene. They didn't shoot any other angles. It was a single shot from when he walks out. So he went back begrudgingly, shot all these different angles, but they ended up doing it exactly like he said.
And yeah, it's a really powerful scene, actually.
I kind of like it because you get used to the cadence of multiple shots on any particular scene, but that one powerful moment when he walks out there, I thought was really cool.
So I was going to ask, are Great Danes a theme in the movie too? Because he sees them outside the store a couple.
Like, they're great.
Yeah, but is there a reason why there's three of them?
I don't know. You should look that up when you relearn the duck information. I have no idea. You're right. They are all over the place. I have no idea why.
Huh.
Ryan crushed it. I mean, I'm going to ease off on you a little bit. I know you don't dislike the movie, but like there is something profound about the movie, and it annoys me that it doesn't resonate with you. I just don't know how to get to you. I don't know how to get inside of that head of yours. And
let us do Shawshank, and then we can uncrack everything.
That's like, I love Shawshank. I love Shawshank.
The most life-affirming movie of all time.
But like the lessons are spoon-fed. Like it's like, here, this is what's going on. That's
how I like it.
Because you're in a prison of emotion.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Did you say the dog? There's three dogs?
So when he's coming outside of shopping at one place,
there's two great Danes.
And he looks at them. He like looks back and it's like, huh, that's like the third great Dane I've seen today.
So if there were three together, I was going to put my hat in for the mythical creature Cerberus, which guards hell, because this is a post-afterlife. But they're not all three together. Three-headed dog is the mythical creature that guards hell, and this is an afterlife movie or movie about death. So that's why I thought that was.
Have you ever drank Mad Dog 2020?
It's so gross.
It's the most awful thing ever.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's terrible.
I think that's like one of the first times I drank on a college campus. We drank Mad Dog 2020.
Mine was Pop Off.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right, Max. Well, that concludes our episode about Joe versus the Volcano, which you tried to destroy, but I saved, thank God, with the help of Coster and Ryan and everybody else. It was a community effort. That being said, please remember, if you love the show, make sure you've already subscribed, leave a 5-star review. We're on Spotify podcast, Apple podcast, any podcast,
YouTube.
Every single week, I separate YouTube from the list, and every week you say YouTube while I'm listing them.
I'm just very excited.
I want to be clear because I haven't had this conversation with you yet.
No,
stop doing that.
Okay.
I address YouTube separately because it is such a big deal.
Yeah.
So just calm down and sit on your hands. You beautiful son of a bitch. This was a throwback episode.
To anger.
Hey, we've spent way too much time together as usual. YouTube, also youtube.com at Buzz in the Tower, and then buzzinthetower.com, Patreon / Buzz in the Tower, and another shout out to our sponsors, 80stees.com. Max, how do you want to end this episode?
I know the perfect way to end.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, don't blow it.
I wonder where we'll end up.
Away from the things of man, my love. Away from the things of man. I hate you.
Goodbye.